Well, as the kids are going out, we want to celebrate. If you notice coming in the corner there, there is an area of youth celebration from Celebrate Life. And they had a great week there, right, Pastor Joey? It all went well, and the kids did well, and a lot of great spiritual commitments were made, and so and a lot of trophies and stuff like that. So you want to check that out there and celebrate with them and continue to encourage our youth. And thank you, sponsors, for taking a couple of days to go and be with them and go away from work. And so we appreciate you, and make sure to celebrate with the youth today. You all doing okay? All right, good. Are you ready for all this? Okay, now most of you probably are going to say, oh my goodness, we have heard, we have understood, we get the prodigal son and those events there, but I really feel like God is placing kind of a fresh word on my heart concerning this, and hopefully it'll be a fresh word for you as well. I'm not going to kind of give a synopsis before. I want to read the scripture, but I'm going to kind of skip around. Are you ready to skip around? Some of you probably want to skip, right? Like literally. Right out of here. No, I'm just kidding. All right, well, let's go to Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to start with verse 1 and just read verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip to verse 11 and read that. And it's kind of long, but there are words. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that these are in red letters, which means these are words that Jesus gave us. And so I believe the words that he gave us hold a tremendous amount of power for our lives. And so once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. All right, starting in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and the sinners, okay? Can you say tax collectors? We love those. Can you say sinners? We love those too, okay? So here's Jesus, and if you really study the scripture, you find that oftentimes Jesus surrounds himself with, and I just practiced with you, that was supposed to be like tax collectors and sinners. Oftentimes when Jesus goes to speak, and in fact, if you don't like crowds, you probably wouldn't have liked to be around Jesus, because most of the time, if you translate it, the crowds are always there. Jesus was compelling. People were following him. No wonder the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like him that much, because he was popular, and the crowds weren't showing up for them, but they were showing up for Jesus, because Jesus had a living and fresh word. And so here we find, in the beginning of this, and I'm saying this because I want you to understand where this kind of goes, you'll see that tax collectors or sinners are around, and then the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people come in and kind of say, why are you bothering with the, yeah. And then Jesus kind of goes off. Yeah. He says three parables in a row all about those that are lost. And we're going to look at the second one. And so now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. You ever grumble? Listen, I grumble, so it's okay. You can say yes, okay? Grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. Now going to verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Pretty lonely spot. But when he came to himself, he said, and I love that, and there's a past there, if I had more weeks to do it, that one sentence. But when he came to himself, he said, and sometimes church, we've all been there, right? We're trying to help somebody, we're trying to help somebody, and it goes nowhere. And see, that what was happening here for many, many years for this young son. And all of a sudden, we could say it this way, he came to the bottom of himself. And then all of a sudden, he had nowhere else to look but up. How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Church, this is beautiful. This is Jesus giving this description. And what does he do? He doesn't say, Father, then heaven. He says, heaven, then Father. Because when we disobey God through other people, we first do what? Dishonor the Lord. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. This is so powerful. And ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this was my son who was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found, and they all began to celebrate. Now, if you have a key word or key study Bible, you're going to find that the key of this passage is coming up. See, oftentimes we think it's the first half, it's the second half, because we have to remember the audience that Jesus is speaking to. Now his older son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry. First reaction, he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. He said to him, son, you are always with me. Whew. And all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. God, today, this is a hard word, but there's a lot of truth. And this word that you've given me to pronounce today, Lord, it was a challenge for me at one point as well. And so, God, we pray against the enemy today. We pray that you would bind him in the name of Jesus, and that we would see clear your thoughts and your heart and your will and your way for all people. And so today, we trust you in this time, and we pray that your angels would protect us and that your spirit would move in this place. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right. Okay, so I kind of covered this, but I want to kind of just remind you that sinners drew near, and it seemed like every time tax collectors and sinners drew near, the church people got angry. They got upset. They didn't understand Jesus. They would say things like, aren't you just here for us? And Jesus would say things like, I'm here for all. I'm here for everyone. I'm here for the big picture. And see, what would happen is they would kind of draw into themselves, and they would feel left out, ostracized, not really important. And yet Jesus, multiple times, over and over and over again, tried his best to clear it up. And so today, that's kind of where we're going to head as we go along. Y'all know what IBS is? Listen, we got to have a little bit of fun. It's going to be a hard message, so just have fun for this moment. I know you'll say, this is so inappropriate. That's okay. I'm not cussing or anything like that, and so just, but IBS is irritable bowel syndrome. If you didn't know that, now you know it. So young people, it's irritable bowel syndrome. I get it every Sunday, and so anyway, and many of you probably, come on now, you've been in an interview, you've been somewhere, you've gone to that first day at school or that first day at work, or you're meeting a girl that just made all the flutters start and you all of a sudden have irritable bowel syndrome. Now, that's probably not the reason. I don't know what the root of it is, but I just feel like it is what it is, okay? But I'm not going to talk about irritable bowel syndrome today. Is that all right? I'm going to talk about OBS, okay? You want to know what OBS is? Now you're going to laugh. It's older brother syndrome. And many of us at one point in our lives, this is where it gets hard, have had older brother syndrome. And you know what? It's not new. In fact, go all the way back to Cain and Abel. If you know your Bible well, and most of you in here in this service do, you go back to Cain and Abel. I was fascinated with that story, with that event. My mom would say, I really don't want you to read that anymore. My brother and I were very different, still very different. And I'm going to tell you a little glimpse into why my mom probably thought it was best that I didn't read that. But older brother syndrome. Before I say what that is, I want you to think about this. Two statements. These are hard statements. You can get lost running from God, right? We know that. There are people everywhere. You have encountered this week people that are running from God, that need him, that he's concerned about, that he sees, that he wants to draw in. But you can get lost at home with God as well. You can get lost at home with God as well. And interestingly enough, if you study this, we named it the prodigal son. Jesus didn't actually call it that. In fact, Jesus called it this. There was a man who had two sons. He never said prodigal son, but we identified it, we titled it, and we labeled it. That label is not in red, and it is not from the translation. It is just added in there to give you a title. That title isn't accurate. It should say a parable about a father's love, grace and mercy, compassion, equality, and two sons. And so, as we think today, remember, you can get lost running from God. You can also get lost at home with God. All right, so OBS, you ready for it? Can you say OBS? You're like, I am not saying that. I'm so mad at him. Okay. OBS is when you lose your heart for people far from God. When you lose your heart for people far from God. This is what today is all about. So, how did Jesus, let's just go with Jesus' words, and remember, these aren't my words. I can actually say all of it's red letter except the title we made up for it. And so this is all red letter stuff. This is all good stuff. If you keep Bible right there at verse 30, you have the key there. And so what was Jesus' description? Well, Jesus' description of him is immediately upon hearing the music and dancing, his heart was angered. Man, it's kind of a lousy description of somebody, right? Thankfully, it's a parable, and Jesus spoke in parables, so it's not really talking about a person in the day. It's a story. It's to help us reflect. And yet Jesus here looked at this older brother who had stayed kind of in the fence area of the father and had served him, having an angry, jealous heart. And so really, Jesus kind of described him as someone with a hardened heart. And it's kind of obvious that his heart was hardened. It's kind of clear that his heart was hardened. I mean, really, it's kind of a sad description. Now, why did he say that? And what was the key thing that the father said? And next week, we're going to look at the father. So, and next week's exciting. Like, I'm excited to share it with you. Because there's so much in the description of this father here, and it all reflects Jesus. But interestingly enough, the reason that Jesus described this older son the way that he did was in these words. You've always been with me. You get to, whenever you want, you can sit at the table with me. Whatever you need, you can come across the field and I'm there. In fact, if this is a real event, I kind of picture it like this, like the father saying, well, wait a minute. I mean, we just ask and you're in the field so that I'll provide for you because I kind of think of it like this. The dumbfounded look. What do you mean? You're with me. Let me tell you, and I'll be a little transparent. You know, my brother and I, we don't necessarily like have any problems. We don't really talk. We just don't really get along. And actually, after many, many years, I've realized that it's because of OBS. As I read this week, I had to reflect on a lot of things. So I'm going to tell you one little event, and hopefully it can get your minds wrapped around where we're headed. But I remember my brother always pushed the envelope. He just did in everything that there was, he pushed the envelope. And I was on the other side, and I'm not bragging, and I'm just being honest with you. My mom would tell you the same thing. I was the opposite. If the envelope was there, I didn't want to go anywhere near it. Why? Because in my home, my father was different with me than he was with my younger brother. My father in this day would say, well, I learned a lot of things by parenting you. And honestly, parents, we could probably admit that, right? I've made changes. There are things that I've done with Janae that I should not have done that I'm not doing with the other three. Things that I said to her, things that I asked of her, I still have to correct myself. And so I remember one day, there was a lot of days, and I'm not saying what they did was right, but something happened, and my dad came home early because he found out, and my mom looked at me, and she said, we had a long driveway, it was trees all the way down at this time. We lived on my grandfather's property, and it would turn and open up to the house. And my dad was waiting at the corner so that when it turned, and my mom said, go by your dad and say, I need you to get the mail because there's something I'm waiting for. And then meet your brother at the end of the road and tell him to go to his aunt's house until I call him there. And I said, Mom, why am I always doing these things? Here I am. If I did that, you would have. And I went on and on and on. And she said, and she looked at me. And she said, honey, I didn't know you felt like that. We never have to push you. You have your own drive. You have your own initiative. You never pushed the envelope. Did you want to push it? Well, no. Did you want to be in this position? Well, no. And she said, then why would I handle you the same way I handle him? Now go up the road and do what I asked. And I grumbled the whole way. I did, because I was young, you know what I mean? Thankfully, I got over it. I didn't regret it. Because I didn't just go up and say what my mom told me to say. I laid into him, and then he laid into me, and then we ended up fighting, and they ended up the driveway anyway, and it was a big thing. And I just kept that attitude, that older brother syndrome. Well, I'm always here. I'm always doing what I'm supposed to do. Why don't you? Church, it is real. And I would say at some point, no matter how godly we are, we have had older brother syndrome with someone or something. So how do you know if you have older brother syndrome? Why don't you ask me? Well, how do you know? You didn't want to know, did you? You're like, no, I don't want to know. Okay, here's how you know. Here's a couple of things, and this is what Jesus kind of describes to us and tells us. You have a hard time celebrating others. Here's what really got me about my brother. If he did the right thing, I mean just normal right thing, my parents would just doubt all over him, and I'd be like, I've been doing this for 17 years. You never even like, right? And see, what happens is when we see other people change and when we see other people get baptized and get saved and go from here to here and we have a hard time celebrating others. See, when we have OBS, we have a hard time celebrating other people's change. Because you know what we do? Well, why is everybody focusing on them? What about me? I've been here. I've been in the house. I've been doing the right thing. I've always been faithful. Well, then receive what the Father has for you, which is a compassion and a heart for others. So see, and I kind of describe it like this. Now, parents are going to get mad at me, okay, because I've been to parties that they do this. It's not about you. If you did it, just I can't even think of the parties, okay? But it's kind of like this, and this is how we started, okay? You ever been to a kid's party, and it's the kid's party? Now, all of you have been born, right? Just say amen because you're here today, okay? So you've been born at some point. You might not want to remember how long ago it was. I feel like once you have 40, you just say 40. You know what I mean? I'm in my, 40s, or I'm in my 60s, or I'm in my, you don't have to tell them what year you're in. Just say you're in that decade. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I think it's interesting. I kind of chuckle to myself because, you know, these parents are just trying to make sure everybody feels good. And so they've got multiple children and it's so-and-so's birthday and we all are bringing gifts for so-and-so. And then all of a sudden the parent pulls out gifts for the other brothers and sisters. And I'm like, listen, you're going to get a goodie bag on the way out. That's enough. It ain't your birthday. In 2 months when I come back over to your house, we're going to celebrate you. But you know what we've done in society? We've made sure to celebrate everybody at all times because we don't want them to feel left out. Your season's coming. Your birthday is going to come around. And so I say to my twins, listen, this is Charlotte's birthday. So when your birthday comes around, we're going to celebrate you the same way. But it's not your birthday today. And we start every birthday out like this. And so today, you're going to be kind to her, you're going to love her, and you're going to celebrate her. See, we have to start from a young age teaching children to celebrate others. We have to start at a young age to remind them that it's not all about them. In church, we are creating a society where people think it's all about me. Now, I'm not saying a goodie bag is, yeah, give them a goodie bag as they go out, but like, why are you pulling all the gifts out? What are you going to do on their birthday? And then what are you going to do when they're an adult and they're pouting because their boss celebrated somebody else and not them? And then what happens when it's you that they're not happy with? Because guess what? It'll one day be you. See, when you have a hard time celebrating someone, you have a hard time understanding this parable. He said, look at all the things I have done. Now, why is this so personal to me? Because I've said it to my own mother. Isn't this the week that he's supposed to mow the lawn? Well, yeah, but you know, he's in a bad mood. Now, I'm not saying all they did was right, right? A lot of it is messed up. But anyway, some of it I was always saying. And after that time in my life, I was just bitter. And it took years to get past it. How often do we say, well, look at what I've done all these years? I mean, they just got here. And they have a place here? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Think about this statement. In my mid-40s, I can say I get it. In my teens, I said, I can't believe it. And see, if you're here today and you can't celebrate somebody else, then you just don't get it. And I hope for myself, the regret that I live in, I wish I knew what I knew today then. And so if you know it today, don't live in OBS. Live with your heart and your minds bigger. The second thing, how do you know you have OBS? Well, you get angry. All he did, right, he was working in the field. I mean, I get it. This dude had been gone. He wasn't working in the field. And probably at the feast, they had things that he had what? Planted, grew, picked, brought in. Like, I mean, I get it, okay? It makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of you, the fruit even here at AFC, you built this, right? You did this. You made it possible. And now others are getting to experience that. Probably in your own homes, you've done the same thing. You know, they're called grandkids. You know, all of a sudden, then your children are like, I watch this with you all the time. Your children are like, well, you didn't for me. And it's like, well, come on now. They were working. They were busy. You know what I'm saying? I give grandparents grace, you know, because that should be a season. But here's the deal. When you see a celebration, and in fact, what's so sad is he just heard from a distance the music and the celebration, and all of a sudden, anger spurred up in his heart. If you are easily angered about other people's victories, then you still have OBS. When we only see ourselves, we will always be easily angered. See, the Father didn't, and next week we're going to talk about it, the Father didn't make it a hymn and hymn or a verses or a, he made it, hey, you're with me every day. The third thing, this is the last thing. You have an I am better than them heart, attitude, perspective, outlook. You fill it in. Now, let's just be honest, because I can stand here and say this. I think all of us at some point have said, well, I'm better than, well, I know more. Well, why did they ask him, her, instead of me? Well, why are they getting to, I mean, haven't they watched me? And this is evident in every part of our lives. The son said, this is hard. The son said, I have never disobeyed you. Now, yeah, this is a parable. And so it really isn't real. But Jesus is basically saying, that can't be true. Because I'm the only one that can say that. Until I went to the cross. On behalf of the older and the younger and the. And so by the son responding, I've never disobeyed you. Now let's just be real, right? Is there any child that's never disobeyed their parents? I mean, you got to chuckle. I mean, even in the best of kids, at times they do what? They disobey. So the problem here is that this son had a disformed, inaccurate, understanding of himself. And see, when we have a strong case of OBS, we don't see ourselves clearly. We see ourselves the way we see ourselves, not the way God sees us, others see us. You want to know what C.S. Lewis said? Just say yes. He's smarter than me. So C.S. Lewis said this, those who do not think about their own sins make up for it by thinking about other people's sins incessantly. The older brother couldn't get his head away from the, how could you? I've been here. And so how do we overcome OBS? Listen, if you overcome IBS, let me know, because I'm still living in it, okay? But I'll tell you how to overcome OBS. You tell me how to overcome IBS. And I'm going to use scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And this is in the New International Version. Do nothing, and you all know this, out of selfish ambition or vain consent. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. That's the solution. And you know what it is, too? It's surrounding yourselves with people that can be honest with you. And I say this a lot, but when I start getting like that, my wife has the ability to say, honey, now she doesn't say you have OBS. She just says, hey, relax. Give them a chance. Love first. She says these things because I can get worked up. And she has a way of saying, see with different eyes. Get out of yourself and see them. So what happens? This is the hardest part. You ready for it? Again, just say yes, because it means you're almost done. What happens if we do not get over OBS? Our heart just gets harder. And what happens is, and Jesus did a good job of this, we get angry even at the hearing of the dancing and the music and the celebration and the fattened calf. Remember, they just came from a famine, so you wouldn't just wasted on a celebration. And see, what happens is the more angry you get, the harder your heart gets, the more isolated you are. Isolated from people. Isolated from those that love you. Isolated from those that want to love you. And most of all, isolated from God. So, here's what's interesting. There's something left out of this parable. You ready for it? Now, the younger son, which we're not going to get to talk about, but I've referenced that a lot because there's significant meaning behind the fact that the father did not follow the son outside the gate. The son knew everything the father had. It's significant. It backs up holiness. Okay, go. You know who I am. I'm here for you, but I can't follow you because nothing else I can give you. I just gave you your inheritance. We're not going to look at that, but I want you to think about this for a second. There was kind of a clear ending. The son comes back and says, I just want to be your servant. I don't even want to be your son. I now get it. I hit rock bottom. I want back. The father welcomes him back, and there's a celebration. There's a humility that sets in his heart. But there's no resolve with the older son. Come on, church. We don't like this, but let me read you the last scripture. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad for this, your brother. Remember, he doesn't even refer to him as his brother. Your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The resolve in the end of the parable is about the younger brother. God never gives us, and this is the thing that theologians hate so much. He doesn't give us the resolve to the older brother who had OBS. Because he wasn't going to give the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees an out so they could continue to act and behave and convict and point. So, church, have you had OBS? Do you have it? Are you struggling with it? Is your heart hardening? Is your heart having a hard time celebrating with others? Or maybe you're stuck in a situation where you're with someone that you can't get out of, that is stuck in a state of older brother syndrome. My heart breaks for you. Because then you have to watch, live in, struggle with that person's anger, that person's finger pointing, that person's inability to see where they are and what value they have. It's hard. And I believe that many of you here today live in or with people who make you sit in those kinds of situations. Imagine if they mentioned the wife of that older brother. And imagine if she didn't have the same heart, what she would have to hear day in and day out. Church, when we have OBS, it doesn't just affect us. It can affect those around us. And don't you want your story to have the same ending that the younger brother has? So, if you're with him, then you're in the kitchen. You're at the meals. You're fellowshipping with. You can drop the rake and go and sit at the feet. Because as we're going to learn next week, the description of the Father in this parable is beautiful. And the heart of the Father in this parable is all about both. All about both. In fact, I love the way the Father comes and approaches the older son. Isn't it great? In a sense, the Father gives the older son the benefit of the doubt. And don't you want God the Father to give us the benefit of the doubt? And so, work at it. Work it right out of your heart. If you're easily angered, if you have a hard time celebrating other people, if you have a hard time seeing outside of yourselves, push that out and let the Spirit of God come in. And maybe today you're the person making and oppressing and pounding on someone else. Maybe if you could wake up today, you'd relieve some oppression in this room, in your marriages, in your homes, in your workplaces, in your church. There is victory when we understand the Father. And when we understand what the Father is doing in us and others. God, thank you for this word and for this day. God, help us that if any of these realities speak into us, that we would push it out through your work and your ways. God, honestly, you know, as I've struggled all week with this, because it's like 3 years of my childhood, the bitterness, the resentment, the hate, the anger, the thoughts. I wish that I could go back and wipe them out. I wish I could have understood this then. But God, I understand it now. So I'm doing all I can to live in it now. And God, I pray that each and every one of us can do the same. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We look forward to hearing about your heart through this parable next week. Go and be with all of our families, all of our ladies. Lord, we pray that you'd bless and anoint them. We thank you for them today, and we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Men, if you see a lady today, I want you to just say thank you. We love and appreciate you. Right, Jane? We love and appreciate you all. So just make sure to get your photos outside, grab your flowers, and head to Sunday school.